the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who revel with the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dityampi, Tatyampi, Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, Anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, Dukkha. All things are without a self, Anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. Thy compassion and mindfulness that proves this path. Thy compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness. In the practice of pure attention. In the practice of ever-expanding faith. In the practice of constant devotion. In the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
we are here to end suffering.
If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Just a reminder that Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available to people in our monthly donor program. So what shall we look at this morning? Renee.
From the other night I went and read the music.
Uh-huh.
And recorded it and listened to it a lot.
Uh-huh.
The part that really struck me, that really, I guess, provided a moment of enlightenment, was the part where it says, and I'm not going to say it right, but that humans are identified with ego and there's nothing wrong with it.
Uh-huh.
I was just like, oh my gosh, that's like such a belief, you know, that I have, that to be identified with ego and to do bad things, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a deeply held belief, and I project a lot of us, that there's something wrong with being identified with ego and doing, quote, bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And what the musings just shone a light on was that, no, there's nothing wrong
mm-hmm.
with that or anything.
Right, right. And so the whole thing is just opening up so many doors,
mm-hmm.
you know, seeing things in a new way. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, just really, I couldn't even say all the insights that came from the music, but it's just so, that, you know, and then unconditional love comes in, you know,
uh-huh.
which I've been practicing with, and that we can do anything and we're still loved,
uh-huh.
you know, that it's just all part of life.
Yeah, we can do anything and we're still loved, and you say it's been opening all kinds of doors?
Well, like that one, like I could go do anything and still be loved.
Yeah.
Kind of a novel idea.
Yeah. There's no conditions. There's no expectations. There's no standards. There's no qualifications on the love that no matter what you do, no matter what, the love is what's the given. You can't get out of that. You can't get outside of that love.
Right, right. And that's where I think then it becomes a choice. Right? Because to be centered or to
uh-huh.
to practice or
yeah.
or to you know, pursue goodness, I guess I would say it. Not of goodness kind of good and bad, but you know, to choose to do what is coming from center.
Yeah. So if I'm with you, it's like once you step out of that belief system that okay, to not be identified with ego is really the good, it's the right thing to do. It's really what we should all be doing. Mm-hmm. And so there's a way of living within that paradigm. But once we step out of that, as you were, you know, kind of popped out of that, then you can see that practice or being on the path or really pursuing goodness is a choice. It's not a should at all.
Right.
It becomes a choice that you're free to make or free not to make.
Yes. And you're loved.
And you're loved either way.
Whether you make that choice or not.
Yeah.
Which is the whole opposite of what I believe. You know,
and, yes, it's the opposite of what I believe.
Right.
It's what I set up.
Yeah, because it's not the same as doing something good according to ego standards.
Yeah.
Because many times the choice at center doesn't appear to be good to a lot of people or to ego, right? And so, and there's no way to know from center for ego to know that it's good.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like the whole totally different world. Amen.
Well, tell me if this is it, that inside that ego good-bad system, its job is to always try to tell you what is good or what is bad and make sure that you know that you should be doing the good and all of that. But outside of that, when everything, there is no such thing as that duality that, you know, then it can't know, so it has no choice but to pull you back into that attitude of mind, mm-hmm. so that it can keep its control. Mm-hmm. But what you're seeing is that there's freedom and there's choice and to just live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, in practice, so that. We're at our net center more often in order to see what is really so.
Uh-huh.
So that system is always operating, trying to figure out what's right and wrong and what's bad and good and what people think is bad and good. And,
yeah.
You know, if they're doing something bad and then I should be judging them or doing something about it. Or it's just always work or talking to me about it,
uh-huh.
and trying to tell me what, or, you know, what it should be done, you know,
uh-huh.
instead of what the shoulds are versus just practicing and dropping it all.
Yeah.
And just being right here, whatever arises.
Yeah.
It's all such an illusion of separation, you know. And it's just,
Yeah.
So it's huge. I mean,
it's
like so huge to try to talk about it, put it in words, but.
Yeah,
it's good to
attempt to. Oh, absolutely. Because one of the things that you just said that I would underline is that it's talking to us all the time. It's got to have it, because that's the only way it can get our attention and keep its imaginary hook in us,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if it's got our attention and it's telling us, well, this is good, well, they shouldn't have done that, well, we are going to be against that, or we're going to do this, it's going to keep love, be love, otherwise you're going to lose your love, and all of that conversation, yammer, all the time, that's the only way it can keep us from what we authentically are,
mm-hmm.
which is center, which, as you point out, is the only place that we know what is so,
mm-hmm.
what feels like it's in, you know, accord with life, or what we can calibrate, but, you know, even that, it'll try to get a good and bad judgment reading on, but that's just more of the conversation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as you say, it is hard to talk about, but
mm-hmm.
but it does seem helpful to try, you know, to express what the experience, what the insight, what the, you know, place that you
right.
found yourself in, what it is.
Yeah, the other night I talked about feeling bad.
Uh-huh.
You know, because it appears all these people are doing these horrible things, and I do horrible things, and, you know, and everyone should just be choosing this way and doing it this way, and this is the good way, and when they don't do that, then I feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some message that I should be doing something about it, and I should be better, and somehow I can, you know, I see someone, you know, hanging above the earth, making everyone doing things better, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's just not even up to me,
yeah.
you know, and in that sense.
Uh-huh.
And so that whole, it's just another way for ego to keep me in the process of suffering.
Yeah. Yeah. The good, bad, the feeling, yeah. I mean, the feeling bad, the feeling yeah. bad.
To be evaluating everybody and yeah. that whole system.
Yeah. Because otherwise, if you weren't evaluating everybody, how would you know when to feel bad?
Right.
You know, how would you know what to feel bad about?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, and if there's nothing wrong with it, there's nothing to feel bad.
Yeah, exactly. And that whole evaluating conversation, you know, not even really helpful.
Right. Yeah, so just we're highly recommend for anyone who hasn't read it to read it and to record it and listen to it. Because that's kind of what I've just been listening to. There's so much in it.
Oh, there's so much in it.
Yeah.
So it's the February musings that we're talking about. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. In fact, after that conversation, I went and reread it and recorded it again and found that just the riches are
so many agendas in it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Penny.
On a couple of occasions, of noticing that sort of the two worlds, you know, there really are the two different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to an event the other morning and involved little people. And so there I was being introduced to something that this one little person had done. And I noticed there was another little person who I know kind of vaguely, who was sitting there kind of with nobody attending to her. So I just went over and said, will you show me what you did? And so she did, and it was great. And that's it, you know, I took about 5 minutes. And so as I was leaving the event, I noticed that there was an event where older people were supposed to show up for the younger people. I noticed that she hadn't had an older person show up for So as I was leaving the event, the older person just arrived, and the younger person was going up, and you know, and sobbing in tears. And so, I mentioned to this little person's parents that we had this exchange, and she done this great job, and her work was really good, you know. So she would do that, and I was getting complicated. But anyway, the mother responded and thanked me very much.
Mm-hmm.
So what I watched was. Conditioning when I take hold of that.
Mm-hmm.
And had a lot to say about what a really wonderful thing was I'd done and how wonderful I was. And I just kind of, you know, followed that. And what I saw that was felt like the crucial moment was that as I let myself get into there, I completely lost the moment I sat with that person, that little person,
mm-hmm.
completely lost it. Because truly, I had entered a different world.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so clear and so helpful to see
how
extolling us, conditioning takes us away from the very thing that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like it's like the most vicious thief, right?
Well, yeah.
So it hears this beautiful experience that you had.
And spontaneous.
Spontaneous, just prompted, went over. You know, it's easy to project that that was helpful and meaningful to the little girl and also to you. And then the mother expressed gratitude. And then there would really be a place where you could feel quite good about having made that, had that action, just a real pleasure in having been able to assist.
And that happened.
Yes, and that was there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then conditioning comes in and steals it by, wow, that was so important. Wow, you really came through. You were in kind of extolling and making an identity, if you will. And it is like, in that way, as soon as the attention goes there, we're in a totally different world.
Yeah.
You can even say, we're out of this world. We just are out of the moment. We're out of the present. We're out of what's real.
Yeah.
And into this imaginary world.
Yeah. And I was very grateful to see it. I mean, I watched it happen. I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I saw so clearly, I mean, sometimes what happens is that comes up, and then I get into the ego's resistance to that. You know, that's a bad thing to have. But the thing that was fortunate this time was what I got was I left what happened.
Uh-huh.
I lost it.
Uh-huh.
And I could go back to it, but I mean, it took me out of what had been a very sweet moment.
Yeah.
And I just seen that so clearly was very helpful.
So leaving, so what you saw so clearly was that in leaving that, you lost it.
Right. And going with conditioning's commentary.
Yes. Going with conditioning's commentary, and you lost that moment that you were in. And it sounds like you're seeing that there's nothing wrong with that because you saw it. So it's like having a step back. Because I think you said otherwise, and another time you might have felt bad. Oh no, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. But no, just watching, because that wasn't a mistake that happened.
Yeah, it wasn't so much that I would have felt bad. I would have gotten caught in the whole conditioned narrative, and then in the resistance to the whole conditioned narrative, and that would have been the world I was inhabiting.
Uh huh.
And what I was just seeing was that in dropping that, I could drop back into the thing that actually happened.
Uh-huh.
So the clarity of that was just really helpful.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had this other kind of fun thing that happened yesterday. Kind of fun, I guess. I had this ongoing saga with a tooth that we were trying to save that I'm not sure we're going to be able to do it. But anyway, I had a procedure. I had a couple procedures, and I had a procedure, and I think it didn't work. And so I just got into this rant, internal rant. And I was aware of that internal rant. I couldn't stop it. Mm-hmm. You know, it just went on and on, because I was so right.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, I remembered that a friend of ours had sent us a picture. She's a great-grandmother now, and she had sent us this beautiful picture of her holding her great-grandbaby. And I'm thinking, you know, well, I'd like to send her a thank you note for that picture. And I suddenly thought, somehow, thank God, that came in. And I thought, I'm going to find a poem about grandmothers and write a poem and send her a thank you note. And as I thought about that, that whole rant dropped away.
Uh-huh.
Just dropped away. And I almost couldn't even capture it. I was in a different world.
Uh-huh.
And again, it was just... You know, often those lines of demarcation are not so clear.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just really grateful for some instances where I can just see, it's not that going with conditioning is bad, it's just that it takes away life.
So well said. It's not that it's bad, it's just that it takes away our life.
Yeah. And, you know, I am reasonably upset about this too, but I don't think more than I am about it. And just shifting the attention changed the whole realm I was inhabiting.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What made the difference? It was just shifting the attention.
Yeah.
You had something, life dropped in, that beautiful picture, the idea to do a poem, and you went with that. The attention was there on that.
Yeah.
So much so that you could, it sounds like, you know, I couldn't even find that rant again. I couldn't even, it's like, I can just imagine, you know, pulling, but you're upset about this too. And it's like, what? You know, because the attention is here.
And then one final step was the woman who's holding the child had a stroke a number of years ago. So I happen to know she's quite disabled in some ways. And there was a moment of just recognition of, I have a sore tooth, she's disabled. You know, there's a difference. You know? And it kind of, it was a nice just kind of putting it in proportion. And then I watched condition one go with the whole thing about, well, she had a stroke, just didn't go there. The voice is there every minute,
you know,
ready to take on the experience and then can convert it into its experience.
Oh, that is so good to see that it is there every minute, trying to co-opt or convert every experience into its ugly little whatever version.
Yep.
But so was awareness, wasn't it?
Because
there it is again, but you saw it.
Yeah.
Just like at the other event, you saw it.
Yeah, and when the original moment came of remembering she had a stroke, I had a sore tooth, it was just an awareness.
Yeah.
There was no sort of weighing or measuring or...
Yeah.
You ought to feel it somewhere. It was just an awareness. All right.
Just an awareness. Just a little reminder. Just a little insight. And just a way to a perspective.
Yep.
That was actually very helpful.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Krista.
These two conversations made me think of situation, which is my parents came to visit. I'm in this very fortunate position. I'm 52 and my parents are still living.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very old. And they can drive a few hours and come and visit. And the thing that feels really fortunate is that I can see with my mom all the ways I was conditioned,
mm-hmm.
and all the ways that I have been able to let go of that and create another life experience.
Uh-huh.
And my mom, while she was here, had this sort of spiritual, she connected to her heart and really shifted. And then, and it was so wonderful to be in her energy,
mm-hmm.
and then she closed it up. And it was such a bummer in her energy. And to see, like, to just be a part of it, and then, like, to see what I wanted to do as a result of her, you know, then I felt like a distraction was just to want to go away and not go away. And and to be able to and I was thinking about the first conversation about that we are still loved regardless of the choice.
Yeah.
But it's true. I mean, the reason, like, for my mom, it's difficult to be around her because she doesn't believe she's loved.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much love is coming out, she doesn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it difficult to be around when we're in that world. And then when she shifted, it was so easy to be around her. And then when she shifted back, there it was again. And I feel like we're always loved, but if we can't get in, it might as well not be there in a way. I mean, it's the same as not being loved.
Mm-hmm.
If we stay there.
Yeah. So if I'm tracking what you're saying, that so the love's there, the heart's open, everything's there, but if our heart's not open, we can't let it in. We can't be there. It's like being in the unloved place, even though you know, sort of on an intellectual level, love's always there. It's always there.
Well, she doesn't know that on an intellectual level. But you could say we in this room know that intellectually, right?
Yeah. And so it is sort of like being in that different world that Penny was just talking about. It's like there's no love here. Because
right.
Mm-hmm.
And so when there's no love, you have no choice but to act all the ways that we act when we don't have love, you know, control more things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just like what the musings pointed out in that first part of it, it's the guy said, it does engender a lot of compassion for people when they're in that place. And the student in the writing said, I wish it makes me angry or makes me whatever, you know. But and it sounds like what your reaction was is it made me want to leave.
Well, that has been my reaction to
uh-huh.
my life, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But luckily they left. So.
Uh-huh.
But and I don't know how, I can't, you know, we can't do it for anyone else.
Exactly.
We got to do it for ourselves.
Exactly. And we can just use our projection tool to see, okay, so there is that, what's being projected is she closed down, she closed her heart. I follow that back. What would I say is happening here? What would I say is happening
right,
here?
Right, the same thing wants to happen in response.
Yeah.
Always, like, as my one friend says, if you see someone do something that's upsetting and you get upset, they're doing it, it's coming from an unconscious place, and if you get upset, then you've got unconscious too. So,
uh-huh.
like, it's true. I mean, there's always that, like, reaction to want to be exactly the same way. But, like, thank goodness, you know, I don't have to be, but I didn't have to be then, but I had to work hard. I had to work really, really hard to come back to my own open heart.
Yeah,
it was so much work.
Yeah. It's like when you say it's so much work. Is it like? Because the pull to go with those karmic patterns is so strong, but you know there's another choice. And that's where the work is, to make that other choice.
Exactly. Uh-huh. The pull to go with the karmic patterns is so strong.
Yeah.
To go with, you know, the same kind of thing, like all the karmic patterns, like to judgment and then sort of unconscious busyness and then overscheduling. It could go on.
You know all the behaviors, right? You know all what it looks like to go with those other choices.
Yeah, they can go on for a while. It could be like I would estimate a week. Living that what I was born to be before I came back to what I have created for myself when I can.
But that beats years.
What's that?
But that beats years.
It does beat years. It's true. It does beat years. Yeah. And so I'm super grateful that obviously I'm not all the way back. I wouldn't have thought to talk about it. Well, that might not be true. That's not true.
Yeah.
I take that back.
Okay.
But I'm aware that that it just the work that it takes to create that the joy in my own heart to come back to that. And in a way that I've been like hyper back to that and to sort of recover.
Well, in that way I wonder if that hyper to come back to that maybe and it sounds like there is a lot of gratitude, like, oh, I'm so glad I know the other way. And then that, oh, it's so much work, kind of gets put on that. And I wonder if that, it's so much work, wasn't a part of the narrative, and if it was just, so glad I know another path.
Right.
Where they
are. I think it actually is more that, but I think the part that I kind of struggle with about it is that it's actually a very great sadness. Because, you know, my mom is 87. She's the last living person in her family. And when she, you know, when she had this experience, and I said, isn't it great, Mom, that you're getting it now before you die? Because no one else in her family, you know, I said, look at, you know, her brothers, who I call aunt and uncle. And she, I said, you know, they didn't have that. Isn't it great that you do? And I think it's this great sadness that then she, it feels to me like it's a choice and she chooses to go back to that familiar story, karma, whatever. And it, I think that the real thing is that it makes me feel so sad.
So sad to see that, that possibility, and then, and what's under the sadness?
Because there's nothing more important than finding your heart and healing it. Nothing is more important than that. Nothing else matters.
Nothing's more important.
Doesn't matter how much money you save, how many people you help, how many, none of it matters. The most important thing is healing your heart.
And finding the heart.
Finding it and healing it and living your life from there. And everything will grow from that. And to me, that's what it feels like it's under.
Very, and it's really good to see and articulate that for the one life we can work with is our own. And so to say that, there's nothing more important than finding and healing and being with the heart. That's how we can choose to live.
Recently I said, you know, I've done really a lot of things in my 52 years that I've had so far, but the most important thing is this. Healing my finding my heart and healing it and being able to live from there. Nothing. This is the most important thing.
Period.
Yeah. And I guess, I think part is to have my mom taste that and then throw it away. And it's tricky. Well, if I just keep coming from there, then the steps will show up. But it's tricky, you know, to how to be with it in the relationship.
But stay here.
But stay here is the ticket.
That's all that matters. That's the ticket.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
I'd like to look a little more at staying here.
Okay.
The conversation is really timely. let's see. So I've had it feels like a deeper experience lately of what it is, of what it's like to be taken over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to just have, I've never seen it quite like, you know, how it just feels like you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Totally there. I mean, I don't know whether totally there, but you know, you think that.
You think you're there.
I think
this is what I can tell him here.
But obviously, you know, from the carnage, from the wake of the ship, it's obvious that, that. There was no presence.
Uh-huh.
That there was a complete takeover. There's another energy that's inhabiting this form,
uh-huh.
or using the energy of I don't know how to, you know, of uh-huh. this being. And it, you know, from the outside it looks like you know, this person doing things, but it's something else that's, you know, that's operating, and the something else of ego, or you know, that whole self-hating system.
So let me see if I'm with you. So there's a sense, something feeling like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm present, I'm here, mm-hmm. and then and to all to maybe the outside view, it looks like this person's just doing things,
mm-hmm.
but there's a sense. And this is the kind of question, to kind of look at the mm-hmm. wake, look mm-hmm. at the carnage. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm looking at that, and I can sense there's a takeover that mm-hmm. must be mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how you sort of catch a glimpse of
yeah.
what's, okay, and what's really going on here.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So, yeah, so seeing that, and then a whole talk this morning about, you know, it's inevitable that we're taken over by ego and, you know, having unconditional love. And then there's that place of this Zen master is standing with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lose your attention for a moment, the sword is going to kill you.
Yeah.
You know? And there's also a response in the email class from the guide about, you know, the bait keeps getting thrown out, and we never, capital N-E-V-E-I, take the bait.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So, so there's this place of, you know, I can see there's a tendency to have a back door.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's okay. You know, I'll catch it next time. Or, yeah, I'm trying. You know, I'm really trying. And so, it's that place of finding where it is to live. Like, you know, death. If you lose your attention for one moment, that's it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and to be in that place of unconditional love as well, but knowing that you are, that
the
The stakes are really high, and you're giving it 100%.
Yeah.
More than 100%.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's just no rolling back on your heels.
Yeah. There's no indulging the, well, I'm trying. Okay, I'll catch it the next time. Okay, I'm really going to try to catch it the next time. You know, sort of as a, well, okay, that's over. That moment's done. And so, okay, well, but there's a shift that it sounds like you're describing, which is that one-pointed attention on being here. Mm-hmm. What Penny was just talking about with the different worlds, I'm not choosing that world. I'm aware of it. I can see it. I can see it. I never experienced what happened, but I am not. There's no choice for that. This is the choice, 1,000%.
Yeah. So just looking at that, I had the experience this week. I mean, of course, you know, there's that tendency to, you know, finding the attention has gone, has been captured again. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just, God, wanted to go to feel bad, you know. And then it dropped in that that's just more of the same.
Uh-huh.
And so another option dropped in of just, you know, rubbing one's hands together.
Like,
yeah, okay, great.
Yeah.
You know, got me. We're going for this.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're just going for this and going to just keep watching and keep looking. And, you know, this thing comes up, this is not beyond me, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is just not beyond me, which is what it wants to tell me.
Yeah.
That, you know.
Yeah, and I just want to reflect the body language that you just, you know, kind of represented both sides. So one is like that, which kind of implies the, God, got me again, the feeling bad, this must be beyond me. So there's that. And then there's the, all right, we're going for this.
Yeah.
Totally different outlooks, totally different places.
Yeah. And not, let's see, I don't care how it gets me or what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And, because there's a whole big thing about looking good. that, you know, it's okay. You know, sort of, there's a lot, there's some of that that I will be done in it, you know, and just ready. And don't quite know, haven't quite yet had the experience of, you know, I'm really getting a sword, but it's the presence of the sword, the imminent presence of the sword. But
it kind of sounds like you did earlier in the conversation when you were saying, so when it dropped in, it's like the sword.
Yeah.
The life depends on it. It really,
I'm just going to go back to that.
That's there.
That's there.
Yeah.
And
you know.
Yeah.
What's at stake.
Exactly.
There's really no question about that. There's no confusion about that.
And that's the whole focus of the attention. I mean, that's it right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It started to drift to the other.
That, well, I don't really get that yet.
Right. It just shoop.
Yeah. That's how it lures you into the, I'm not really up for this.
Yeah.
And I'm trying, but I'm just not quite adequate and, you know, whatever. But that's not where you were.
Right.
That's not what you've been talking about. Yeah. You're talking about,
So it's been a continual picking back up at that.
Yeah.
You know, oops, I saw that.
Yeah.
We're not going there.
We're not going there. And it's been better. Yeah.
That's the bait.
You know? Exactly.
And, but... Thank you, know it stinks.
Yeah. I'm sick of that bait. I'm not taking it anymore.
Okay.
Oh, that's great. Jen?
You know, I think the challenging part is that the bamboozle so hides in plain sight.
Yeah.
After the freedom. So the bamboozle, this is a lab, and what I've been hearing in the conversation that I've been practicing with is that everything everyone's describing is a conversation,
uh-huh.
right? But it's a conversation about practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so, gosh, I just, you know, if I could just, you know, gosh, okay, next time, I'm going to look up, you know, and to realize that's the conversation. That's what's keeping the whole thing alive. Yeah. Whatever the content is, that's it. And the freedom is, I'm washing the dishes.
Yeah.
And I have to use words because we're sitting in group, we're not washing the dishes.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's why Zen is such a direct experience thing. And why there isn't a lot of reading and studying and not relatively little talking. And because sitting here and talking about the experience of doing dishes is not doing dishes.
Right.
Completely different processes.
Yep.
And that's the thing. You know, we were talking the other night, I think, in group. You know, gosh, how do you get out of the conversation? And then we start talking about the beautiful lettuce in the garden.
Uh-huh.
There, that's how.
Yeah. Attention.
There's no how of getting out of the conversation.
Yeah.
There's just this.
Yes.
But it's so obvious and so simple that we don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That is such a good point. So you know, sitting here talking about it, we can kind of be deluded into thinking we're actually getting somewhere in this, right? That it's somehow helpful. But in a way, that's exactly the bait that hides in plain sight. Because when it's going on in our head, we can feel all practice-y and that we're really, but it's looking, you know, but it's still a conversation.
Well, and I think it's, as you say that, I think it's exactly what was pointed out in the conversation around the two worlds. Because at least in my experience, sitting in here and listening to everyone and having a conversation is incredibly helpful, assuming that we go practice it instead of think about it.
Yeah.
Which is what I heard in those two different places.
Yeah.
So there, the thing happens. You know, I have the interaction with the little person, and it just is the experience that it is, and it does produce a certain life experience.
Mm-hmm.
Great. On we go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. I mean, that's what I was hearing in that last conversation. Is that's the warrior place.
Yes.
That is the warrior place.
Yeah.
Of just, you know, you have to use words, but just keep going.
Yeah.
Just the next thing. The next thing. And it's so, again, it's so obvious and so simple, but incredibly challenging to do. I'm washing the dish.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm drying the dish. And of course, because one of the things that happens is immediately, if we're really there, at least this is my experience, the freedom and joy and expansiveness is just in our face.
Uh-huh.
And the draw to then have a conversation about that, make a decision about that, make a system out of that, talk about how I am with that.
Mm-hmm.
What now it's all gonna, you know, is so huge,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get in the conversation instead of just be there.
Ah, yeah. So I'm washing the dish. I'm just being really. I'm here. I'm present. I'm just washing the dish, or just washing the dish.
Right. It doesn't even matter. Right.
It's not enough.
I'm just here washing the dish.
I know.
That is the conversation. But you're right. There's no way to talk about it.
So if we cut out all pronouns, it would be very confusing. But it would be probably more accurate. So just washing the dish.
Yeah.
And then it's there's this expansiveness and presence, and whoosh, just like what was talked about with this other world, comes in to co-opt it, to grab it, to snatch it, to corrupt it actually by the conversation and what I'm gonna do with this and make a system. And, oh, this is great. Now we can and all of a sudden there in that moment emerges the I.
Yeah, exactly. I can't remember who writes about it or said it, but it's an image I heard years ago that's always stuck with me. Is there's this, like, you know, those, it's like a giant fit ball, basically, but Suzu at summer camp, where you get on it and you walk, right? And it's huge. And you just have to keep going or else you dive over it, right? But there's this, and that's what life is, right? But we're constantly trying to stop it, get on it, and be someone to have it, right? But the phrase that I always remember is, life is way too compassionate to do that. It won't ever stop for us.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so that's the place. It's like, get on top of it, have something. Mm-hmm. But the thing that's amazing, of course, is that it feels like this is what all spiritual traditions are pointing us to. It's why we talk about the practice of expanding the container, is that the process of always being with life exactly as it is, you know, being on that ball, is so beyond amazing that we can't even stand it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, like, somehow that separation that happens to be someone who's going to have this shiny moment.
Yeah.
Not realizing that that's what's killing it. That's actually the contraction of, which, as other people have pointed out, it's not wrong.
Right.
And it's completely just what happens.
Right.
It's what we all practice with. But I think I was really seeing in so many conversations, but especially that last one, it's why it's so challenging, is because it's this moment, this moment, this moment, this moment, this moment, this moment, this moment. You know, it's right here, it's right here,
yeah.
Right here, it's right here.
Yeah, and you know that expanding the container, you know, the little clip of the video that was shown on the year-long retreat where the year-long kickoff workshop.
Right, the video.
Where, video, right, where she's, the admonition is, you've got to be willing to face your Buddhahood, face mm-hmm. you're the Buddha, mm-hmm. because it is so beyond amazing that the tendency is to close down.
Yeah.
But we've got to, you know, moment by moment, and with dish by dish, lettuce by lettuce, you know, just be expanding that container to where we can take it in, and we can really get that.
I think it's why that, again, that warrior place of, you know, it's not wrong, it's not bad to fall off the ball, to want the thing to stop, to, and in a way, until we see that, we don't have a choice. That's just what happens, you know, going back to one of those, it's hard to see people feel, it seems like, making that choice. In my experience, it isn't a choice at all, you know, so off I go, off I go, off I go, how many trillions of times. But that the minute I wake up to that, you know, see the carnage behind me or whatever it is, that warrior place is just smile and back up.
Smile,
just smile
and back up.
And back up, you know. No conversation of it, mm-hmm. not even, quote, learning anything from it.
Right.
Just right back up.
Yes.
Right back up. You know, because then we're training ourselves to love that process, to mm-hmm. want to be there, to feel the unconditional love that is in that process. So instead of training ourselves to feel that, and, okay, back on the darn ball again, and then it's really hard, and I have to keep getting on this stupid ball, and, you know, but I can do it, I can do it, you know, if I work really hard, I can do it.
Yeah.
But when we realize, when we don't take any of it personally, and we just, the minute we see it, just right back on it, you know, these hands rubbing back together, it's a joyful process.
Yeah. And it is in that what you practice is what you have, kind of creating. That's what we're training for. It's just that moment,
exactly.
Getting back on, getting. Yeah. And it really is the warrior's path, or and one of great courage, because what we're having to face is the lifetimes, eons of conditioning that the conversation or the feeling bad or the good or bad or all of that is what's going to help.
Yeah.
But what we're training for is to know that we prove to ourselves enough that isn't what actually brings us here.
You know, the funny part is, I was just recording about this morning. I was looking at, you know, I'm training to, and then I'm like, no, I'm not training. I'm just doing it.
Uh-huh.
You know, because there's a way in which, in this moment, all of those eons of karma, we're in that King's X.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't, you know, when we're right here, it doesn't matter. Everything that's come before, all that, the only place that comes into play is when we get pulled off.
Mm-hmm.
When we're here,
it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. It's completely fine.
Yeah.
All of it is completely all right.
Yeah. It's the best. Thank you. Good.
I'll be pretty brief so everyone gets a chance here. It's so great to hear everybody. So I had this conversation with the mentor last night, and first I think it was a pseudo-mentor, and then it was with the mentor.
Uh-huh.
And, so basically, I've been struggling at night recently not being present.
Mm-hmm.
and checking out, noodling, fantasizing, doing things with my phone that support unconsciousness, and not doing things that, I always keep my core commitments, but there's always these things that arise that would be helpful and supportive, and there's just been a no to that, basically. And so, and then of course, the habit is, there's a tinge of what's been talked about. You're bad, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. But we'll get on track together, we'll figure this out. That's the pseudo-mentor part.
Next round.
And so I was talking with the mentor last night, and the mentor was going, well, you know, it's good that you're on the recorder right now, and that kind of thing. But there was just something about the tone next time, you know? And I do this thing sometimes, because I'm doing a two-handed recording, and so sometimes I say, and now let's hear from the mentor, even though the recorder's in the left hand, and the mentor's, because it's not for sure. Every time there's a shift. Every time. And the mentor said, you know what? This is a bunch of crap. you know what's going on. Here's what's going on. So right now, what you need to do is stop doing those things. Uh-huh. And you know what's the next thing to do? Well, you're going to do your gratitude list. Mm-hmm. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to bring this up. And you're going to actually said you're going to talk about this. Uh-huh. You're going to ask for support. Is what you're going to do. We live in the only place in the world that anyone would understand.
The support you're asking for.
Exactly. No one else would understand. Like, oh, well, last night I was thinking, and
I don't really want to think anymore.
Yeah. and then I just watched, listening, and so I was like, okay, you know, enough. Like, ask for support. To me, that is such a huge getting out of the conversation with the devil.
Yeah.
And then, but it was like, oh, well, you'll do it in your one-on-one, which. You know, you're just like, next time. But I'm listening, I'm like, right now, in group, out loud.
Wow.
That's what's going on.
Yeah.
Which is, to me, is the saying, I'm not going to be in relationship with that. Mm-hmm. I'm in relationship with these folks and what they're aligning with this life.
Yeah.
And so, stop the crap, speak up.
Yeah. And you know, the thing that strikes me about that, Scott, is that it is the washing of the dish, right? Mm-hmm. Because what the conditioned conversation would try to get you to do is, well, I think you got a one-on-one next Tuesday or a week from Tuesday. So let's be sure, make a note. Yeah. You know, and it can sound all real, you know.
In the meantime, let's just continue this conversation. Exactly. And then I'll get you to forget that you're going to do that in the first place.
Or the charge will have gone, or you'll have gotten covered over in whatever way.
It's not even a problem anymore.
Well, I did, 2 weeks ago. Right now, what's here right now, the support is right here. And so there was the willingness to, there. That was the getting back on the ball right now.
Yeah, I love that ball image. That is so my experience. And it's just so exciting and joyful to be, and there, I just see that complete resistance. Okay, whoa, whew. Enough of that. Let's get off the ball and look at how that experience is so great.
Wow.
And so that's really, I love that image because that's fun to, let's see how long we can just stay with that next step, and build and explore that just crazy, amazing energy that is.
Yeah.
And see that the only thing that would resist that is something that's not even real.
Yeah. The only thing that would resist that and try to close it down, try to get you away from it, is something that's not even real.
Yeah. Gosh, I can't believe we get to be in this group and have these kinds of things mirrored back to us.
Yeah.
So amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right.
So, this is a pretty intense week for me. They all are, probably. Really. I didn't pay attention this week. And really what I'm saying over and over again is this safety, this idea that there's a safe way. If you just do it right, then it seems like there's a story about doing it right has its own rewards, but that's not really what's there. Or it's just like, then you'll be safe, then you won't be in trouble. You won't be in trouble. That's just huge.
Yeah.
And I just read the beginning of the whole thing of the making a change for good. And I've had a really hard time with some personalities. Like, I got that
we don't even really talk about it as much as we used to, but like I got that in a way, like, oh, here's this little kid who's just trying not to get in trouble.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I look around, like, I can't imagine anywhere I could be that would be more safe.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been really just feel like this space of kindness.
Yeah.
To get to be here and see it again and again and again.
Yeah.
And again. Like, you know, 75 times a minute sometimes.
Yeah. It really is the beauty of this place that identity of, okay, I gotta stay safe, I gotta not get in trouble, can be so, it stands out because there's such a stark contrast. Like, how do you get in trouble here? What, do you get a note? You know, it's like, what does it mean even, you know? And so, and plus the awareness is just there watching it. And so here is this identity, we might say the not getting in trouble identity, or the needing to be safe, that's sort of in your face 75 times a minute sometimes, and you're getting to see that.
Yeah, it's so conditioned.
Yeah, yeah.
And I see the pattern of what he does, and he sort of watches and figures out what's going on and what is safe.
Yeah.
And then does his very best inside that because he's safe, uh-huh, and he knows.
Uh-huh.
And I just can't. Like the kindest thing, he doesn't get to do that.
Yeah.
It's just not. They're like, one of the things that dropped in is that a whole bunch of like this one thing repeating is they're trying to kill me. And it's like, well, or someone's trying to survive. Like, another one was someone's kind of trying to win the retreat, or if not win it, at least make a good showing.
Uh-huh.
It's been a laugh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You're here, you made a good shot. Uh-huh. It's already happening.
Yeah.
And so whatever it is that you're trying to have is already happening.
Yeah.
And this is never, I mean, this is not like my retreats.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm.
So let me see if I'm with you. So there's a sense that, that sometimes you hear this, they're trying to kill me, right? And so do you have a sense where that is the identity talking, or does that feel like?
Well, it's interesting because I see it in two different ways sometimes. Sometimes there's the identity trying to survive the retreat.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty clearly conditioning and self-hate,
yeah,
or
yeah,
ego, however all that works together,
right,
things that aren't authenticity.
Right.
And there's another part that just like kind of wants to just be me,
yeah,
through this.
Yeah.
You know, can I just be me? Like I kind of know some things about how to be me, but I don't know how to do them here.
Yeah.
So something like that feels really authentic.
Yeah.
And kind and young.
Yes. Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
And,
go ahead.
Yeah. And just earnest and, mm-hmm, authentic.
So there's that's such a perfect picture of what we're looking at, right? So there's the authenticity that Jeff knows, you know, I'm here. Hey, I've already won. I'm here. I'm showing up. I just want to be here and just relax and go through the day and experience the support and just be me. Just be who I am. And then there's the identity. He was like, no, I've got to win, I've got to stay out of trouble, I've got to get it right, I've got to, you know. And there, and that's what we get to practice seeing, kind of falling back into just the relaxing pace of life, just getting to be what we are, and then getting pulled into the conditioned contests and standards and self-hate and insecurities and all of those other things that can just pull us into suffering. And then, you know, and you're just getting a clear, sounds like a really clear view of the two possibilities.
Well, and that specific process of sort of scanning to see safety, is it like, what am I supposed to do here,
mm-hmm,
so I won't get in trouble? I have never been so clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I've seen it, though. I mean, it's not the first time I've seen it. But like, you know, it's like I'm seeing it in a way that I've stepped back and it's just played out in front.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that's not me.
Yeah.
That's a conditioned pattern, yeah, at best.
Yeah.
And it's ego and self-hate at worst trying to keep me that way. That,
yeah,
that's what wants to survive.
Yeah.
It's like the authenticity of life, whatever, that's just here.
Yeah.
And that's the dishes of dishes.
Yeah.
And like, that's what that is.
Yeah.
Or is sharing a group.
Yeah. And that's everything. Just seeing that, what you just described. That's the whole, that's all practice. That's all we're doing. It's because in seeing that, you're the awareness, we could say, although again those pronouns get kind of trip us up, but the awareness is there just doing the work. You know, so we often sometimes use this phrase that, you know, we just basically get here and let awareness do all the work. And you know, and so you see that, okay, there's that process. That's conditioning and that's self hate, really, probably, if we get the truth be told. But there it is. That's not me. Okay? That's all we're here to see. Let's get clear about what's not authenticity.